Welt im Ohr. ÖAD Live. Ein Beitrag von Österreichs Agentur für Bildung und Internationalisierung.
Leute im Labor.
Willkommen bei Welt im Ohr.
Einer Sendung des Teams für internationale Entwicklungszusammenarbeit.
Im ÖAD, der Agentur für Bildung und Internationalisierung.
Diese Sendung wird von der österreichischen Entwicklungszusammenarbeit im Rahmen des akademischen Programms APEAR gefördert.
APEAR steht für Austrian Partnership Program in Higher Education and Research for Development.
Heute für Sie, heute für euch, live im ORF-Zentrum mit
Mayada Hadaya und
Momo Kunishio.
Sehr herzlich willkommen. Hallo, das ist Welt im Ohr mit mir, Mayada Hadaya und Momo Kunishio an der Technik. Wir sind heute wieder live aus dem ORF-Zentrum und haben einen Gast auch hier. Hello and it's fine that you're here, Charles Rutikanga. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you very much for coming. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, fine. Yeah. A very warm welcome, dear listeners. Today's topic is social work with a focus on East Africa, and learn more about the diverse research areas in the context of social work with me and my guest today. So, Charles, I'd like to mention a few words about you. You came yesterday to Vienna,
yes. Yeah?
Tell us a bit more from where and why.
I'm from Rwanda, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Vienna, Department of
Development Studies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm coming back to Vienna to complete my PhD studies.
And you have been here once, and you were working in the project PROSOVO, which stands for Professional Social Work in East Africa, within the framework of APEAR. We're delighted to have you here, Charles Rutikanga, as our guest. Thank you so much for your precious time. And there are, among other things, two important occasions on the topic. One is the World Day of Social Justice, which was on 18 February. And the second occasion is the World Social Work Day, celebrated since 1983, every third Wednesday in March. So we'll be on 18th March, in nearly 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
And let us talk about a bit about you and your work, and you are a social worker too, you're a scholar, you have been working within this APEAR program and APEAR project PROSOVO. Tell us a bit more about you. How did you came to be a social worker and also a lecturer, later on a scholar on the very interesting and important topic of social work?
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm really very happy for this invitation. I'm a lecturer of social work at the University of Rwanda, and I have been at university for 16 years. Working with APEAR, the story starts in 2007 when I met a colleague called Helmut Spitzer, who is teaching at Carinthia University of Applied Sciences. We met in a conference in Kampala, and I remember by then I was the president for the Rwanda National Association of Social Workers. Then I was with the head of the Department of Social Sciences, where social work program belongs. He made a visit immediately before he returned to Austria, and of course, we had meetings and took contacts. But by then, I was working in Health Unlimited, British-based organization. And at the time I reached there, Helmut came back and told us about the idea of applying for a grant in APEAR. We started working together, I think, beginning of 2010. when we got a preparatory funding that brought all of us, I mean, the team from Uganda, Rwanda, Kenya, and Tanzania. So we met in Nairobi and wrote the full proposal. Of course, we were facilitated by Professor Antoinette Rambert from University of Pretoria. That is now the beginning of my journey working with a peer, working with OAD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this very interesting project was really extended also to a second term. Mm-hmm. And so this partnership could really work long years, very good together. You brought out many different publications. There was also the 2018 in Kigali, a mm-hmm. very huge conference on the same occasion, the International Words Social Workers Day.
Yes.
We have brought also a broadcast from this year. One colleague of our team of OEID, mm-hmm. Pierre, was there, and she brought some very interesting interviews. Let our listeners also hear about it. But I also wanted to mention before, very briefly, you're appointed as the African Region Representative for the Indigenous Knowledge Commission of the International Federation of Social Workers, too.
Yes.
So we would also like to hear from you some words about this very important bringing Indigenous knowledge onto into social work and how it is combined also with science.
Yeah.
Yes, let us listen to this very interesting interviews brought from 2018 from the International Social Workers Day in Kigali.
Welt im Ohr, ein Beitrag vom ÖAD-Team für internationale Entwicklungszusammenarbeit. Sozialarbeit nach dem Genozid in Ruanda. Niemals wieder Genozid. Diese Worte vernimmt man oft in dem ostafrikanischen Land Ruanda. Doch wie verarbeiten die Menschen ein so traumatisches Ereignis wie den Völkermord von 1994? Wie sieht Versöhnungsarbeit zwischen Opfern und Tätern aus? Welche Bedeutung kommt dabei der Sozialarbeit zu? Und welchen Beitrag leisten Wissenschaft und internationale Kooperationen?
Ganz Besonderes, wir sind jetzt gerade hier in Kigali und marschieren gerade durch die Straßen und es ist einfach wunderbar, diese Zusammengehörigkeit, diese Einheit von den Menschen in Bezug auf soziale Arbeit und viva soziale Arbeit, würde ich sagen, und happy Social Work Day.
Melanie Bressecker, Studentin der FH Kärnten, ist im März 2018 nach Ruanda gereist, um an der internationalen Konferenz zum Thema Sozialarbeit und nachhaltige Entwicklung in Afrika teilzunehmen. Anlässlich des Weltsozialarbeitstages wurde auf den Straßen der Hauptstadt Kigali ein sozialer Marsch veranstaltet. Rund 500 internationale Delegierte aus Wissenschaft, Ausbildung, Praxis und Politik nahmen an der Konferenz und am sozialen Marsch teil. Lea Kalemela, Institut für Sozialarbeit in Tansania und derzeit Doktorandin an der Universität Wien, beschreibt ihre Emotionen.
Very nice, excited to see social workers coming from different places.
Ich bin auch aufgeregt, vor allem so viele Sozialarbeiter aus so vielen unterschiedlichen Orten von der Welt zu sehen, die sich hier treffen, um sich gemeinsam für die Entwicklung der Sozialarbeit auf globaler Ebene und hier in Afrika einzusetzen. Für mich als Tansanierin bedeutet es sehr viel, hier mitzumarschieren. Denn wir fördern die Sozialarbeit und machen sie sichtbar. Außerdem zeigen wir allen, dass es die Sozialarbeit gibt und dass es unsere Aufgabe als Sozialarbeiterinnen ist, die Leute zu unterstützen.
To help them to realize their goals and promote their well-being.
Die Konferenz ist ein Ergebnis des Prosovo-Projekts, das die Professionalisierung sozialer Arbeit an ostafrikanischen Universitäten zum Ziel hat.
Die Finanzierung erfolgt durch EPIR, das Hochschulkooperationsprogramm der österreichischen Entwicklungszusammenarbeit. Prosovo läuft sehr erfolgreich seit 2011 und befindet sich bereits in der zweiten Projektphase. Im Zentrum des Projekts stehen empirische Forschungsarbeiten, Lehrplanentwicklung, der Aufbau von akademischen Kapazitäten sowie die wissenschaftliche Vernetzung. Beteiligt sind neben der FH Kärnten 5 ostafrikanische Hochschulen. Die Makerere-Universität in Uganda, die Universität Nairobi in Kenia, die Hope-Universität in Burundi, die Universität in Ruanda und das Institut für Sozialarbeit in Tansania. Die regionale Koordination obliegt der Makerere-Universität in Kampala, wo 2014 die erste Konferenz und ebenfalls ein sozialer Marsch stattfanden. Helmut Spitzer, Prosovo-Projektleiter und Professor an der FH Kärnten, erzählt von seinen Eindrücken.
4 Jahre später, wie fühlt sich das an?
4 Jahre später von Kampala nach Kigali ist eine lange Reise, eine Wiederholung, aber auch was Neues. Wir haben hier 500 Leute auf der Straße circa und tausende Beobachter. Also wir haben gerade mit den Kolleginnen gesprochen. Das ist wirklich Sichtbarkeit der sozialen Arbeit in Richtung Öffentlichkeit. Also wie fühlt sich's an? Es fühlt sich super an.
Obwohl die Sozialarbeit für die postgenozidäre Gesellschaft in Ruanda einen wichtigen Beitrag leistet, ist sie als Disziplin noch wenig bekannt und wird oft unterschätzt. Daher wählte das Prosovo-Team Kigali als Austragungsort der zweiten Konferenz, um die Relevanz der Sozialarbeit für nachhaltige Entwicklung, soziale Gerechtigkeit und die Einhaltung der Menschenrechte sichtbar zu machen. Susan McGrath, Professorin für Sozialarbeit an der Universität York in Toronto, Kanada, arbeitet bereits seit 17 Jahren mit ruandischen Institutionen zusammen und ist ebenfalls begeistert von der Atmosphäre des sozialen Marsches.
Die Sozialarbeit war als Beruf in Ruanda nicht bekannt und hier marschieren wir in den Straßen von Kigali. Ein Student hat damals zu mir gesagt, die Leute wissen nicht, was Sozialarbeit ist und was wir machen. Und meine Antwort war, ihr müsst rausgehen und es ihnen zeigen. Und das ist genau das, was sie getan haben und was sie geschaffen haben.
Am Ende des sozialen Marsches versammelten sich die Teilnehmenden für eine Gedenkfeier beim Genoziddenkmal. Dort befinden sich Massengräber für mehr als 250.000 Menschen sowie ein Museum, das die tragischen Ereignisse rund um den Völkermord in Ruanda aufbereitet. Janestik Dwikeritse, Forscherin an der Makerere-Universität und regionale Prosovo-Projektkoordinatorin, war maßgeblich für die Organisation der Konferenz in Kampala verantwortlich. Mit ihrer Expertise hat sie ihre Kolleginnen in Ruanda unterstützt. Sie erzählt von ihren Emotionen und Gedanken rund um den sozialen Marsch.
It was very, very significant. First and foremost, I think there was more participation. It was almost like all the participants at the conference also went down, you know, to participate in the march.
Der soziale Marsch in Kigali war sehr beeindruckend. Zuallererst denke ich, dass es mehr Teilnehmerinnen und Teilnehmer waren als in Kampala. Der soziale Marsch zog in Kigali auch mehr Aufmerksamkeit auf sich, da er an einem Arbeitstag stattfand. In Kampala hingegen war es an einem Sonntag. Die Tatsache, dass wir zum Genoziddenkmal gegangen sind, hat die Bedeutung dieses Marsches in Bezug auf die Sozialarbeit hervorgehoben. In Kampala haben wir uns am Ende in einem Park versammelt und hörten von einem Regierungsvertreter eine inspirierende Rede über die Rolle der Sozialarbeit. Die Rede war mitreißend und die Leute waren aufgeregt. In Kigali hingegen versammelten wir uns am Ende bei der Gedenkstätte, wo wir ruhig und nachdenklich waren. Und diese Stille sprach mehr als Worte, so habe ich es erlebt. Es war eine Mischung aus Aufregung, auf der Straße zu marschieren und stolz darauf zu sein, dass wir Sozialarbeiter sind. Mit der Gedenkfeier am Genoziddenkmal kam dann der Realitätscheck. Und mir ging die Frage durch den Kopf, was jeder von uns als Sozialarbeiterin tun kann, angesichts eines so tiefgehenden menschlichen Leids.
And us reflecting on what can each one of us do.
Thank you.
Der Völkermord 1994 in Ruanda zählt zu den schrecklichsten Ereignissen des 20. Jahrhunderts. Innerhalb von nur 100 Tagen wurden von Milizen, Soldaten, der Präsidialgarde und von der gewöhnlichen Bevölkerung rund 1 Million Menschen getötet. Opfer waren vor allem Angehörige der Tutsi-Minderheit, aber auch Oppositionelle und moderate Hutu, die sich nicht an Gewaltverbrechen beteiligen wollten, beziehungsweise sich diesen entgegenstellten. Nachbarn, Bekannte und Mitglieder der eigenen Gemeinschaft wurden umgebracht. Ein Großteil der Bevölkerung beteiligte sich aktiv an den Gewalttaten, teilweise freiwillig, teilweise unter Zwang. Der Genozid war ein schrecklicher Höhepunkt an Gewalt, jedoch gab es bereits davor Repressalien gegen Tutsi. Seit 1990 herrschten in Ruanda bürgerkriegsähnliche Zustände. Es gab Kämpfe zwischen Hutu und Tutsi und es kam zu Massakern an den Tutsi. Zudem wurde seitens der Hutu-Regierung Propaganda gegen die Tutsi betrieben und aus heutiger Sicht kann man sagen, dass der Völkermord von langer Hand geplant worden war. Regine King kommt aus Ruanda und ist selbst Betroffene des Genozids. Nach ihrem Bachelorabschluss an der Universität in Ruanda absolvierte sie ihren Master in Psychologie und ein Doktorat in Sozialarbeit an der Universität Toronto. Derzeit arbeitet sie als Professorin für Sozialarbeit an der Universität Calgary in Kanada. Ein Schwerpunkt ihrer Arbeit liegt auf psychosozialen Heilungsprozessen und sozialer Transformation in Ruanda. Sie war eine Keynote-Rednerin auf der Internationalen Sozialarbeitskonferenz. In ihrem Vortrag Trauma und psychosoziale Heilungsprozesse erklärt Regine King, dass Trauma als Konzept in der ruandischen Gesellschaft allgegenwärtig ist. Trauma kommt aus dem Griechischen und beschreibt emotionale und psychologische Verletzungen, die auf extremen Stress und oder gewaltvolle Erfahrungen zurückzuführen sind.
It wasn't that there wasn't traumatic events, but I think in each culture they define well-being, health, healing in different ways.
Es ist nicht so, dass die Menschen vor dem Genozid keine dramatischen Ereignisse erlebt haben. Aber in jeder Kultur werden Krankheit, Gesundheit oder Heilung unterschiedlich definiert. Ich habe mir überlegt, wie es sich entwickelt hat, dass ein fremdes Konzept in eine Kultur übernommen wird und dabei bestehende lokale Vorstellungen verdrängt. Ich habe meine Mutter gefragt, welchen Begriff es vor Trauma gegeben hat. Also was man gesagt hat, wenn Leute etwas Schlimmes erlebt haben, das vielleicht nicht so dramatisch ist wie der Genozid, aber andere traumatische Erlebnisse. Sie hat mir geantwortet, dass wenn zum Beispiel das eigene Haus niedergebrannt ist oder wenn man aufgrund einer Epidemie mehrere Familienmitglieder verloren hat, hat man davon gesprochen, dass Menschen in tiefe Trauer verfallen und die Gemeinschaft wusste dann, dass diese Personen mit besonderer Rücksicht behandelt werden müssen. Bei schrecklichen Erlebnissen reagieren Menschen ganz unterschiedlich.
And that's how they knew that someone was not functioning right. And that's when the community knew that it needed to surround the person who was suffering with some special care. I think anybody who went through a genocide, there was something you could say was not normal. An example, after the genocide, I forgot all the names of the people I used to know.
Zum Beispiel habe ich nach dem Genozid die Namen aller Leute, die ich kannte, vergessen. Wenn ich jemanden auf der Straße getroffen habe, wusste ich, dass ich diese Person kenne, aber ich konnte mich an keinen Namen erinnern. In meinem Fall ist die Erinnerung wieder zurückgekommen. Aber das hängt natürlich davon ab, welche Unterstützung man dabei erhält. Bei manchen Menschen verbessert sich der Zustand und sie können das Trauma überwinden. Bei anderen wiederum wird es auch schlimmer. Ich denke, dass jeder und jede nach dem Genozid versucht hat, seinen oder ihren Weg zu finden. Aber als die Zeit verging, konnte man feststellen, dass es Leute gab, die nicht wieder auf die Beine kamen. Die Symptome variieren abhängig davon, in welcher Situation die Person lebt und welche Hilfe sie erfahren hat. Andere erleben, was ich eine traumatische Krise nennen würde. Das passiert vor allem in Zeiten, wenn die offiziellen Gedenkfeiern für die verstorbenen Angehörigen stattfinden. Viele, die ich befragt habe, haben berichtet, dass sie sich manchmal verloren und von den Ereignissen des Genozids überwältigt fühlen. Die Erinnerung daran läuft ab wie ein Nonstop-Film und sie können oft nichts dagegen tun. Bei Außenstehenden erweckt es oft den Eindruck, dass die Leute unhöflich sind, weil sie auf Fragen nicht reagieren. Aber die Leute, die diesen Prozess durchlaufen, sind so sehr davon eingenommen, was in ihnen vorgeht, dass sie gar nicht merken, was außerhalb vor sich geht und welche Wirkung sie nach außen haben. In meinem Vortrag habe ich auch auf die verschiedenen Dimensionen von Trauma Bezug genommen. Es kann physiologische, neurologische oder auch soziale Auswirkungen haben. Viele, die den Völkermord überlebt haben, erzählen, dass sie nicht wissen, wie sie sich mit den Leuten in ihrer Gemeinschaft in Beziehung setzen sollen. Sie fühlen sich verraten und sie haben kein Vertrauen mehr. Bei anderen treten physiologische Symptome auf. Manche Leute zum Beispiel reagieren mit einem Hautausschlag. Oder es gibt Frauen, die bereits in der Menopause waren und plötzlich wieder die Menstruation bekommen. Es ist mehr als eine posttraumatische Belastungsstörung. Die Menschen müssen lernen, sich wieder mit ihrer Gemeinschaft in Beziehung zu setzen. Und es geht auch darum, ob und wie wir von anderen wahrgenommen werden. Auch wenn ich mich erholt und stabilisiert habe, brauche ich Leute um mich, die auch wahrnehmen, dass es mir tatsächlich besser geht. Es sind die anderen, die uns menschlich machen. Nur wenn ich mit mir selbst wieder im Einklang bin, kann ich auch mit anderen in Beziehung treten.
If you feel okay within yourself, definitely you want to connect with other human beings.
Regine King plädiert in ihrer Rede für kulturell angepasste Traumakonzepte. Interventionen, die in relativ friedlichen westlichen Ländern konzipiert wurden, fokussieren meist auf die psychologischen Bedürfnisse von Individuen. Solchen Konzepten fehlen oft Hintergrundinformationen über die kulturellen, politischen und historischen Kontexte, in denen traumatische Ereignisse auftraten oder erfahren wurden. Zudem drängte die Universalisierung westlicher Traumamodelle lokale Praktiken und Initiativen in den Hintergrund. Regine King betont, dass die Theoretisierung von traumatischen Verletzungen für die verschiedenen sozialen Kontexte erfolgen sollte, mit dem Ziel, daraus kulturell angemessene psychosoziale Interventionen abzuleiten, die sich auf den jeweiligen kulturellen und gesellschaftspolitischen Kontext der Betroffenen beziehen. Helmut Spitzer über Ruanda als Experimentierfeld für westliche Experten und Expertinnen und westliche Traumakonzepte.
Nach wie vor ist es so, dass westliche Sozialarbeitskonzepte eher individualistisch ausgerichtet sind. Das gilt ja nicht für Ruanda, in afrikanischen Kontexten eher kollektivistische Instrumentarien geeignet sind. Ein gutes Beispiel dafür sind Traumakonzepte. Ruanda ist ja nach dem Völkermord eigentlich ein Experimentierfeld für westliche Psychologinnen, Psychiaterinnen, Medizinerinnen und so weiter geworden, die ihre Traumakonzepte dort ausprobiert haben. Nun ist einfach so, dass in der westlichen Traumatheorie geht man vom Individuum aus und in Ruanda ist die Identität sehr stark an der Gemeinschaft ausgerichtet. Das heißt, dass diese Konzepte zum Teil unbrauchbar sind. Es gibt auch wirklich Beispiele dafür, dass das nicht funktioniert hat. Trauma wird in Ruanda eher verstanden als die Entkoppelung von der Gemeinschaft, als eine Destabilisierung, die nicht nur das Individuum betrifft, sondern die Gemeinschaft und das Kollektiv. Und entsprechend müssen zum Beispiel auch traumaorientierte Konzepte so ausgerichtet sein, dass nicht das Individuum im Mittelpunkt der Intervention steht, sondern die Nachbarschaft, die Gemeinschaft, das Kollektiv, die Großfamilie zum Beispiel.
Die Sozialarbeit ist als akademische Disziplin in den westlichen Ländern entstanden, um die Begleiterscheinungen von Industrialisierung, Urbanisierung und damit verbundener Armut zu mildern. In afrikanischen Ländern wurde die Sozialarbeit während der Kolonialzeit eingeführt und nach der Dekolonisation als sozial- und wohlfahrtspolitische Strategie nach westlichem Vorbild etabliert. Kritik an westlich geprägten Inhalten, Methoden und Lehrmaterialien wurde in den letzten Jahren immer lauter und seitens der afrikanischen Kollegen und Kolleginnen wurde eine Indigenisierung der Sozialarbeit gefordert. Mathilde Mukantabana betont in ihrer Konferenz-Keynote ebenfalls die Wichtigkeit der Sozialarbeit für die nachhaltige Entwicklung und die Notwendigkeit, indigene Methoden zu erarbeiten. Prosovo eröffnete Möglichkeiten des gemeinsamen Lernens, Forschens und der akademischen Entwicklung. Zudem wurde ein professionelles Netzwerk der Sozialarbeit in Ostafrika aufgebaut.
APEAR, the Austrian Partnership Program in Higher Education and Research for Development.
Funded by the Austrian Development Corporation.
Today live from ORF Studios.
Hosted by
Mayada Hadaya and
Momo Kunishio.
And welcome back. Social work makes a significant contribution to development cooperation and it is of fundamental importance because it deals with issues of social justice. In this context, cooperation between academic disciplines should be seen as a key feature of the strength of social work and development research. And we have Charles Rutikanga. He is a social worker, lecturer at the University of Rwanda and currently completing his PhD at the University of Vienna in the Department of Development Studies with research focuses on street children in Rwanda. It's good to have you, Charles.
Thank you once again.
We can talk about a few important things to social work and also your academic experience and the topics you are researching on. And first, I'd like to ask you, how do you define social work?
There have been many definitions provided by different scholars, but there are some main concepts that emerge in a social work definition. Social work is a practical profession and academic discipline that deal with promotion of social justice and also empowering people, which the profession is helping to help themselves. So it's a helping profession, but it also helps people to help themselves. It also promotes social cohesion because we are living in a human society where people depend on one another in different aspects. I would say, in a nutshell, social work is a profession to promote social well-being of people, individuals, families, and communities in general, or as the whole society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mentioned already that you're appointed the Africa Region Representative of the Indigenous Knowledge Commission. So let us talk about also Indigenous knowledge. How does this come into social work and why is it important to look at it?
Yeah, when we talk about Indigenous knowledge, maybe to understand it very well, we can go in the in life before colonization. People were surviving on the herbal medicine, which they were picking in the forests. People had conflicts, but they were solving them. People had other social interactions and the social life that existed before the other people came and brought the new techniques, the new models. So when we talk about Indigenous knowledge, this is knowledge that helped people to survive before the new methods emerged. During the colonial period, it's like all these methods or approaches were forgotten. And the reason was they were called primitive, they were called barbaric and other different names that discouraged even the owners of those methods to ignore them or quit them. And even though they continued these practices, but they never realized that they were original from those communities. Not until recently, where now they re-emerged, because after some studies, they realized that bringing a new approach to people who don't know where, even to pronounce some terms, because remember, many people in the East African region or other parts of the world, they are less educated, and you cannot get a name to call that introduced approach in the local language. So if you take an old person who never went to school, it will be difficult to understand them. Yet they are the approach brought to help them. So people said, why can't we bring back some good practices or approaches that helped people in the past? Then we mix them with the new models, then we come up with a hybrid model of which people will understand quickly and also adhere to quickly. So that's now how traditional or indigenous knowledge is re-emerging in the new social work practice and academia. Of course, the challenge was, how can we use things we don't know? They are known, but they are not written. Now they are there even to be taught to students, because these students will use them in their future practices. That's now what I can mention. And I'm the Commissioner for Africa, Indigenous Commissioner for Africa, International Federation of Social Workers. We have around 5-6 colleagues that represent different regions. Actually, what I have realized, indigenous issues are totally different from all over the world. There are some who are focusing on the forgotten indigenous people and their practices, of course. Others are focusing on their rights, because they are now, there is an issue we are writing a position paper on the missing indigenous women. This is a very big issue. Or moving people from their survival environment and take them into other lives where people are not feeling comfortable. Can't you help them within their locations? I mean, these are different issues being discussed. But in Africa, for us, we are focusing much on bringing back those approaches that helped people. They work on them. See, of course, all practices are not good, like women sexual mutilation. That is condemned. But approaches that seem to be good are reimagining. I think we have heard the concepts of Ubuntu or Ubuntu. Yes. You are because we are.
It's the communities, exactly. Focusing on communities and community well-being much more than how we are understanding individualism in the northern countries and European countries.
Even in the corona period, it proved this. People got depressed because you cannot meet people. Even if you are meeting people you don't know, you feel human because you are seeing other people around you. Even in the urban, you might, I don't know them. But you are you because of those people you don't know. If you are in a urban alone, I'm sure you can go two, three stations. If no other people entering, you also come out. Because you say, I cannot afford this.
So the importance of indigenous knowledge is becoming bigger and also finding place and a particular place into science, and how science is then dealing with the different solutions on different topics.
And the people suggested to bring them back because they realized it's very important not to ignore them. Yeah, so that's why they are now reimagining. And many societies now, You know, when you ignore something, nobody will think about it. But now it's coming back. Everybody, now I cannot tell you how many book chapters, how many journal article papers that have been produced since this campaign started, which is not more than actually 5 years. Like now I have a colleague in Norway. We are going to write a paper on one approach in Rwanda called Budehe. Then in Norway it's called the Dugunat. Then in Tanzania it's called the Masarangambo.
What is it about? Maybe it's
an approach where people help one another. Of course, in Tanzania and Rwanda, they have been working. But in Norway, Dugnad reemerged during the corona period. Mm-hmm. Because there are some people who didn't have jobs, who are surviving like on a casual labor or whatever. So people realized, I'm eating, but another colleague or somebody is dying. So they started that, gathering food, gathering clothes, gathering other necessities. Then they were giving them to these people who were really much affected than others.
So then there is a chance also for Western scholars and or Western societies to learn from it, because in a capitalist world, it's important also to start thinking of communities and sharing.
Exactly, because though sometimes it is ignored, but it's human. You cannot live alone, as I said. You need one another. You have a neighbor you don't talk to, where maybe many problems are solved by the formal structures. If I have a problem, I call a police. But in Africa, people survive on one another. Even if you have a conflict with a neighbor, you sort it out, or you think beyond that and talk to one another, because you might need that person anytime. So if you don't greet me, now, would you call me to help you? I think it's really important to work on that. And even some situations have showed us that it's really important to have that connection. Like a corona, you remember, you were bypassing somebody and somebody ran away somehow. Yeah. But now, when you look outside and you don't see people, you feel the situation has totally changed, and the people got depression and so on.
So you yourself, particularly, you are researching and working on the topic of street children.
Yes.
And we would like to hear words and something about that after the music.
Here, the Austrian Partnership Program in Higher Education and Research for Development.
funded by the Austrian Development Corporation.
Today, live from ORF Studios,
hosted by
Mayada Hadaya and
Momo Kunishio.
Charles, your research is focusing on street children. Can you give us an insight on your current research?
Yeah, my research is focusing on everyday lives of street children in the city of Kigali. Yeah, my research has always been motivating me to write on children because these are innocent younger people who suffer problems they never created. So I'm always touched to see how children are suffering and yet they are not of the root cause of what they are going through. So my research is looking at their everyday experiences. Where do they get food? Where do they get medication? Who like them on the street? Who doesn't like them? Who use them for their own interest? Then maybe afterwards I can give a recommendation on policymakers and practitioners on how to solve problems of children, because no child is worse being on the street. We don't give birth to children to go and live on the street in the very hardest time a child can experience, because that's the worst life a child can experience.
Do you have numbers? How many children are living alone on the streets in Kigali?
Well, in Kigali, numbers are not very many, and actually they keep on fluctuating, but there were some studies, because for me, I was not interested in the numbers, but I was interested in seeing what I said. But some research have determined around 2,000, 3,000 children living on the street, but not all of them, because some spend almost their much time on the street to go home, but they start going back home and sometimes stay on the street forever. Yeah. However much there are mechanisms, but still children are seen on the streets.
But it's important and interesting that you mentioned that you're not interested in numbers, because it's the lives of the innocent children you're interested in. What about their daily life? What are the biggest challenges for them? And are there some NGOs also working with them and for them?
Yeah. Anyway, I said not interested in numbers because I wanted to undermine the problem, but it's my research, not like numbers, because for me, I believe there is no any single child should be on the street. Yeah, because when you talk to a statistician, if, let's say, 10 children are on the street, it's not a problem because it's not a big number. Their life on the street is very difficult. They undergo a lot of sufferings. Number one, they don't have enough food, or they eat food which is rotten from the garbages. Number two, their health are at risk because they sleep outside. If it rains on them. When they are sick, they don't have somebody to provide medication. They fight among themselves and cut them, their colleagues with leather braids. Even the members of public don't like them. Some abuse them or burn them even to death because they steal from them. So they are not liked. So there is a lot of suffering on who help them. Yeah, there are some NGOs that try to help these children, but nowadays they are more in prevention, not really much, because now children are removed from the street by the government, take them to these centers for a short period of time, around 3 to 6 months, depending on the child case, then they are returned back to their families. But what is very interesting, when they are returned back to their families, they don't stay longer if problems, causes have not been addressed. They will come back because they are still suffering what they run away from.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So then social work becomes an important role, mm-hmm, to solve these problems between street children and their families so that they can stay at home?
Yes, yes. Actually, the National Child Council, which is responsible for children nationwide, many of their staff are social workers. When a child is returned back to their home districts, these social workers working at the district from NCDA, they assess the family situation and they check and they see what caused the child to go on the street. Then they try to mobilize resources from different NGOs to help that family, so that children can go to school, can get enough food at home, can get clothing, and so on. Now the focus is more on rehabilitating the family and supporting the family than supporting a child alone. So it's a more comprehensive approach. And actually the numbers are reducing because of this intervention.
Mm-hmm.
It is the family that has a problem that caused the child to leave the home to come on the street. The problem is not the child, no. The child will run away as a survival mechanism of running away from a problem. Maybe a problem of poverty. Some children told me that they eat once a day or don't even eat. Some told me their parents are drunkard and they don't take care of them. Others, their parents are in prison. And when they are in prison, if the government don't make a quick intervention to see how these children can survive, they find themselves on the street. So there are different reasons, but the major the family poverty or family conflicts.
And what will you do in Vienna this 8 months or nearly 1 year when you stay here?
Yeah, my focus will be more on writing up my thesis and complete it within the 8 months. I want to go back when I've already defended my thesis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Prosovo projects we mentioned, they ended, but there is a very important basis they have built. So how can you continue with this knowledge, experience?
Actually, maybe I didn't get a chance to say something about Prosovo. Prosovo, when we started working together, actually, the different universities within East African region didn't know each other. Anyway, the universities were there, but I mean the lecturers, the researchers, didn't know one another. We are kind of working in isolation. But since we started working on a Prosovo project supported by a peer under OED, we started to know colleagues from Makerere in the Department of Social Work and Social Administration. We came to know many colleagues who are working at the Institute of Social Work in Dar es Salaam. We came to know colleagues from Nairobi University Department of Social Work and Sociology. We came to know colleagues from Burundi, from Hope Africa University. Now, when we met as colleagues, we started knowing what others are doing. What challenges do social work profession face in these different universities around 5? So we started publishing together. We started thinking of solving problems together. Now, Prosovo project was very unique in its nature of bringing different universities in a consortium which has never existed anywhere in the region. I remember we presented in a different conference in Africa and even outside Africa, but everybody was saluting. This has never happened, where 5 universities are working together, contributing to the promotion of professional social work in their region. So Prosovo Many, many countries in Africa have started these consortiums. And today, after ProSoWo, we got another funding from Canada, and it brought on board three universities in Canada plus University of Rwanda. Then after that, we got another funding from Norway, and we are now with Makerere, Institute of Social Work, Dar es Salaam, University of Rwanda, and the Agda University. So we are more than one, and thus it has become a culture introduced by ProSoWo project, and it is giving a very high yield because you are not working in isolation. Colleagues know the challenge of others, and we are supporting each other. Like now for University of Rwanda, we don't have highly qualified professors who can supervise PhD students. But we go to Makerere and they say, please help us and supervise our student. We support each other in different aspects of our academic aspirations.
So it's Ubuntu within social workers.
Exactly. But if we didn't know each other, it would be difficult to contact anybody. And today, when you see a project, you say, but we can involve University of Rwanda, we can involve Makerere, we can involve Institute of Social Work, we can involve Hope Africa University, we can involve University of Nairobi, we can involve Kenyatta University, because all of these have been working together. And if we wanted to introduce another new university, maybe from Ethiopia, from Sudan, we can do that because the network now is becoming so big. And there is a project, actually, which we implemented recently that was bringing 33 universities from African region, and we had East African cluster still bringing those universities that worked together on ProSoWo. If I need a colleague from Makerere, I know who to call. If they need a colleague from Rwanda, Tanzania, Burundi, Kenya, they know, even if you don't know exactly the person, but through the created network, you'll get the right person to work on a certain project.
Can you say that the importance of the profession of the social worker or social workers is also respected by the governments, by the different, let's stay in the African continent, by the different African governments? Are they aware of what important work you are doing?
Yes, I would say in my country, for sure, social work was less known, like everywhere, but Rwanda was even behind because this social work started in 1999 after the genocide to address these very tough challenges. Makerere had started in around 2020-something in Dar es Salaam, 73, but still, some people don't know social work. But through ProSoWo, because we published, we organized big conferences, having march on the street saying social work, now people have started to know social work. And we're inviting different government officials, like Professor Matilda, whom you had in this interview. She's ambassador of Rwanda in Washington, D.C. She was among the key speakers. We invited senators in Kenya. We invited ministers from social welfare department from Uganda. So now when they come and they hear that preaching about social work and the roles of social worker profession can play, they pick it from there. They always call, please engage social workers, please involve social workers in different social welfare practices.
A very last question, because
yes, please.
We're coming to an end.
Okay.
What do you wish for the future?
Is to continue where we stopped from. I mean, we got funding from APIA OAD, but this has inspired us, has shown us that we can write other proposals and go through, of which has happened. Though APIA ended, the funding of APIA ended, but we have continued to secure different, with that good experience, and everybody now is happy to work with us. So we train younger people to continue and also achieve more than we have not achieved with very good mentorship. Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us, Charles Rotikanga, and I wish you a very good stay in Vienna and good work and a lot of motivation to finalize your PhD also here. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you so much also for hosting me. It has been really amazing to come here.
Thank you so much to our listeners. A good evening. Thank you, Momo Konishio, on the technics. And this is APEAR, the Austrian Partnership Program in Higher Education and Research for Development.
Funded by the Austrian Development Corporation.
Today, live from ORF Studios.
Hosted by
Mayada Hadaya and
Momo Konishio.